Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Chelsea Messenger, he's Michael Jenkins, and over the next couple of segments, here's what's on the menu. We'll start with our first impression roses in the NFL this week. And what we mean by that is what teams, from a betting standpoint, caught our attention when we first glanced at the slate. At 7:20, we go on to how the betting markets reacted to the NFL trade deadline. Did the Colts do enough to make you trust them during the postseason? It's all next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenks, time for another installment of Am I a Hater? And okay, I'm going to give you a situation where I feel like there is a line where I could have been petty, but I wasn't. But you tell me if I had any leeway to be petty in this situation. All right, so yesterday I meet my friend at the playground for a play date with our children. I ask her, I say, hey, I'm going to get coffee. Do you want me to get you something?
Okay.
So she tells me her order, which is not a cheap drink. So it's like over $5 for a coffee, which is fine because I asked her if she wanted a coffee. And so we get there. I put our coffees on the table, and for the entirety of the play date, I think she had like two sips of this coffee. And I'm just sitting there staring at it like, this cost me $5. You're not going to drink it? And I didn't say anything because, like, she's my best friend. And, like, we were talking, but, like, am I being a hater here? Is this really petty?
I don't think it's that big a deal. You know, maybe she just needed a little pop of caffeine. Like, at what point would you have been satisfied that she had had enough coffee? Four sips? Quarter cup? Half cup? Maybe she needs to chug? And then you're like, okay, now I'm getting my money's worth. Like, hey, I spent $5 on you. That's a nickel's worth of drinks right there. What are we doing? Maybe she got her a little sippy cup, a little small cup, a little espresso cup with coffee in it.
Well, because that's the thing. She asked me to order a medium. Because I was like, okay, if you didn't want that much coffee, like, save me some money and have me order you a small. So I don't know if the drink just didn't taste good or something, but I didn't say anything because I didn't want to be petty. And you're right. It is a small deal. But sometimes I think we all have these moments in the back of our head where, like, oh, I could be petty if I really wanted to, but let's not ruin the friendship over a coffee.
What if she has a sensitive tummy? Speaking of someone that has a sensitive tummy, and sometimes drinking coffee in public is a very big task.
True. That's a good point.
Well, then why would she ask me to get it for her? You know, like, if
that
was me.
She wants to stay regular.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like, I don't do things in public if I know there's going to be, like, repercussions. Good example of this, Jenks, is when we're out to eat with the bosses.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to get wings because they're going to be all over my face. It's not that I don't appreciate wings. It's just, hey, I know the situation, and I'm going to plan for it. So I haven't asked her about it because, obviously, again, this is very petty. But I can't
I knew
lie.
That.
I was sitting there and staring at her coffee. I was like, she's had two sips of this. How am I supposed to focus on this conversation?
I remember that wings dinner very well. And I didn't know you that well back then, but I knew you well enough to know she is not going to eat these wings. And it was not a knock, but I just knew you. And they were like, hey, Chelsea, have some wings. And you're like, no, I'm good. I don't really, you know. No, get on in there. Have some wings. And I kept thinking, there's no way she's going to eat these wings because it's kind of like a social thing. I totally get that. I was like, there's no way. And you did not. You held firm.
Well, especially like when you're meeting with your bosses who you want to have like a certain viewpoint of you. And so I didn't want like lipstick all over my face and barbecue sauce. And, you know, me being like, so when's my next contract coming up? You know, and it feels like one of those things where I don't want them viewing me like that.
Yeah. Well, I was spilling things. Like, I'm sitting there, and, like, my drink's falling over. And it was, like, drink one. And I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
Like, we've made a terrible mistake with this guy.
Yeah, but then Ryan Horvat swoops in and makes us all look amazing.
And like, this Jenkins character is just fine. Never mind. He's just fine. We love Horvat.
Sorry about that, Horvat. But yeah, we have a very loose environment, so it's fine. In the end, it did not matter, and I probably could have had the wings. All right, Jenks, time to look at the NFL slate because it's never too early to try to find some value. So what we do every week is we give out our first impression roses. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody does this where you take an initial glance at the slate and you're like, okay, what games are jumping out to me? And mm-hmm. then we will investigate those lines further. So there were a couple teams that stood out to me this week. And I will say from the jump, like, they caught my attention, and then immediately there was, like, some drawback. They're like, wow, you know, they're really attractive, but, like, look at that mole on their face. Like, something has to go wrong here. So here are the ones that caught my attention. So let's just leave it that, and we will talk about their moles later on. So first one that caught my attention, and this is in my teaser, this feels like this has to be the square line of the week. Patriots plus 2.5 mm-hmm. on the road to the Bucs. Like... I feel like the books know what's up here, and I have fallen into this trap before. I think mm-hmm. it was the Niners getting like 2.5 against the Texans. And I said to myself, like, the Texans aren't even good. And who won that game? The Texans, by quite a bit. I don't even think the Niners covered in a teaser. I am not saying that that's the case with the Bucs and the Patriots, because the Bucs are coming off a bye week, I believe, yeah. and the Bucs are a good team. They stand at 6-2, and this is a home game for them. So that's one that caught my attention, but I don't think I will end up betting because it does feel like it's too good to be true. But let's talk about your team, Jenks. And yeah. the Commanders are getting 9.5. This line was 8.5. Now it's 9.5. And I think that a lot of people and me will be on the Lions here. So has this line grown too much? Because we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the Commanders are going to be missing a lot of players, including Jaden Daniels in this one. Is 9.5 too many points to lay against your Commanders?
I don't think so. I mean, what am I going to say right now? Everything that could go wrong is going wrong for Washington, whether it's JD5, whether it's the injuries. Even Frankie Louvu has been suspended for a game because of too many hip drop tackles. And then you have the revenge factor, if you will, of the Commanders going into Motown last year and beating Detroit in the divisional playoff. And also, Detroit is coming off a loss at home against Minnesota. So the Commanders right now really aren't playing for anything, with the exception of pride. Joe Witt Jr., the D coordinator, is going to come down on the field. Will that help? I don't know. But I just think it's a bad spot for Washington. And yesterday's was sitting at 8.5. Now it's at 9.5. I think if it's below double digits, you probably lay it with Detroit.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I'm headed in that one. Although I would be especially mad if the Lions burn me in back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. Please do not do that to me, Detroit. Next up, let's go to the Seahawks laying 6.5 at home against the Cardinals. So I think that we have had a hypothesis here on the show that the Seahawks feel like a team that is undervalued. But I'm looking at this line, and I did like a casual glance. I was like, you know what? The Cardinals have played in a lot of tight games, and they've played mm-hmm. some good teams closely, like including the Colts, where they only lost to the Colts 31-27, lost to the Packers 27-23, and they've already played the Seahawks, and the Seahawks only...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
They beat them by 3 points. So I see the 6.5, and I can see a scenario in which the Seahawks cover, but I think the Cardinals are one of those sneaky teams that kind of keep it close with just about everybody.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way as well. A divisional game, too. And also, did you see yesterday, Jonathan Gannon said, all right, it's Jacoby Brissett. Here we go. Instead of Kyler. And, you know, I'm curious, like, when we talk about this soft benching, like, how much of this is, because they said in the article, and I couldn't decipher, like, what is going on here. So Kyler probably could play, but the doctors are saying, okay, ideally, if you've got a foot injury, you've got a 4 to 8 week window for recovery. So ideally, you stay out longer, you know, to make sure that foot is healed and you don't re-injure it. So is Kyler ready to go? Or are they saying, hey, we want to make sure we take care of our franchise quarterback, so let's get Jacoby Brissett in there because he's done a good job? I don't know the answer. I wonder what the Cardinals are doing here exactly. And they're not going to tell us for sure. But back home for the Seahawks, after that huge win against the Commanders, you're right. Arizona tends to play teams close, and Brissett has done a nice job at quarterback. I think this is too many points for a divisional game.
Yeah, I think so as well. And speaking of divisional games, like, we know that the books are super high on the Rams. They have the shortest odds to win the NFC right now. Mere 3.5-point favorites on the road at the Niners. So you look at this and you're like, okay, revenge spot for the Rams. They lost to the Niners already this season to like a skeleton crew for San Francisco. But I feel like this is another one of those games where it's a divisional matchup. Both these head coaches know each other really well. And it should be noted that the Niners could get back Ricky Pearsall this week. And that would be a huge boon to a receiving core that is, not the best when it comes to depth. We know George Kittle has been back, and that is a huge boost for them as well. So I think this one looks like it should be the Rams. But this is another one where, like, my first glance, upon further investigation, I'm not sure if my instincts were correct here.
I don't know. This line keeps going back and forth. So it started Rams minus 3.5. Then it went down to Rams minus 3. And now it's back up to Rams minus 3.5 again. So it's going to vacillate. And I think the interesting thing here is the matchup between Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, right?
Sean McVay. Mm-hmm.
So during their all-time meetings, while McVay has the advantage in the postseason, they met once. Kyle Shanahan has the advantage during the regular season where he is 11-7 overall. So I think here I might lean towards the Niners if you're getting the half point. But if it goes to 3 again, then I kind of like the Rams just because I'm worried about the injury situation with the Niners. Whether it's Pearsall, Brandon Ayuk is still out. Then they suffered another defensive injury over the weekend with Michael Williams. Like, I don't know how many injuries they can sustain and still be competitive. They're doing it because Shanahan is a great head coach, but this is one of those games because of the familiarity between both head coaches where that hook is going to be crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another square play that I think a lot of people see, including me. So how about, I think this is the Monday night game, if my math is correct, because it's on November 10th.
Yeah.
So that means, yes, it's the Monday night game. The Eagles are getting 2.5 points on the road at the Packers. I understand that the Eagles have not been super dominant this year. But it feels to me like this is one of those teams that kind of gained steam throughout the season. It feels very similar to the Chiefs for me, where you can look at their record, you can look at the numbers, but it's still, there is a good team in there somewhere, and especially when they are playing the best teams in the NFL. Yeah. I think they have a chance against just about anybody, so I would be interested to see which way this line goes. I think the public will probably lean towards the Eagles getting points, but I would love it if this line got to 3.
I would too, but it's just screaming Packers. I mean, screaming Packers. The Packers are too good. Like, this is one of those perfect situations, I feel like, where the market is rightfully sort of dismissing what we saw last week against the Panthers, right? Because it's hard when you see a result like that to sort of dismiss that. But every team has a stinker. Even the best teams in the NFL have bad games. Packers had a bad game against the Panthers at home. But we know they're a good team. Like, imagine how you felt about Green Bay after they just manhandled Pittsburgh versus how you felt about Green Bay after they lost to the Panthers. Like, the truth is definitely in the middle. And so the market is doing a nice job of saying, okay, this is still the Packers. They're still at home. The Eagles have some weaknesses here. I think Green Bay is the right side, but I can see a lot of people on Philly.
Yeah, we'll see how that line moves because, again, that's the Monday night game, so we do have some time until that one tips off, or kicks off, I should say. And then the final one, I guess I didn't even ask you, Jenks. Do you want to throw a team in here? I feel like I've been just kind of steamrolling.
Oh, no, steamroll right through. I think the only other game I looked at that I glanced at was it's the under in the Jags-Texans game, but this number has moved so much. It's gone from 41 to 38. Is that where it is now? Yes, sitting at 38.
Yeah.
Whew. I mean, of course, the Jags traded for Jacoby Myers yesterday, which they needed because BTJ has not been good. Travis Hunter is out. And then if you look at the Texans, CJ Stroud is in concussion protocol. They could go with Davis Mills instead. Also, Texans defense, number one against the pass in the NFL. Like, this is gonna be a rock fight.
Well, sometimes if it's a rock fight, like, they can't make the totals low enough. Like, 38 is still, it's not like a healthy total, but like, what was the score last week for the Texans and Broncos? Wasn't it like 16-13? So I think it could go similarly to that one. All right, so we've mentioned it. The NFL had the trade deadline yesterday. We'll give you our take and the market reactions to all of the big moves. It's coming up next here on The Daily Tip.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.